Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Here are some of the questions we'll be discussing today, Friday, February 22nd, 2013. Should American veterans be disarmed? Are rising home prices cause for optimism? And what about the U.S. economy? Is it heading for big trouble, or do you believe we're in a recovery? 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs here at Discount Gold and Silver. Let's get started today with the market report. And I'm happy to report that gold is up $3 today at $15.81. We'll take these little leaps one day at a time. Silver's up 10 cents today at $28.88. We have platinum down 8 at $16.16. And palladium up 4 at $741. U.S. dollar index today is still trading stronger, 0.07 at 81.44, with crude oil inching up a little bit, 0.53 at 93.37. Well, the markets, they just took off today. They were up almost triple digits for the day. You had the Dow was up 120 points, right at 14,000. NASDAQ up 30 at 3161. S&P 500 is up 13 points at 1515. Euro is at pretty much the same as it was yesterday, 131.87. Same way with the 10-year yield is also at 1.97%. And not so sure why the markets were up so strong today. I know Italy's going into an election this weekend, and everything just seems to be rosy, Al. Hi, Al.
Happy days are here again, Molly.
Happy days. Woo-wee. We avoided the cliff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we've avoided the fiscal cliff or not. We'll watch and see. But we've got the fiscal cliff. It's like the perils of Pauline. We get done with the fiscal cliff, and then we get into sequestering. That'll be fiscal cliff last month and sequestering the 1st of March and the rest of that sort of thing. There's just one little problem after another, and somehow I just hope we get through it all.
Well, I'm sure we'll get through it, but there's certainly a lot to get through.
There's a lot to get through, and the big question, of course, is how painful will it be to get through these? problems, and they're going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people, just like the recession has been uncomfortable for really the last 5 years now. We have had difficult times for people that are unemployed, and we've had difficult times for people that are trying to sell products. They may not be unemployed, but they can't sell to people who are unemployed. We have difficulty. So are we? Is it up? Is it down? Is the glass half empty, half full? Pretty much looks half empty to me. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but the truth of the matter is, although we see occasional bright spots, for example, we're going to talk about home prices today. They've risen dramatically recently. Is that cause for optimism? Well, yeah, it is. In one part of the economy, is that cause for optimism for the whole economy? No, I don't think it is, any more than the price of gasoline going up 50 cents a gallon just in the last little while. Going up 50 cents, that's bad for the economy, but is it really bad for the whole economy or just a chunk of the economy? And that's part of what you have to try to discern. There are some things that are getting better. At the same time, there are some things that are getting worse. And the question becomes, how many things are getting better? How many things are getting worse? How do we balance them? You know, and it's the balance. It's the average of all the ups and all the downs. That's, in theory, gives us an answer as to whether we are, as an economy, as a nation, are we going up, going down, just holding, just treading water? What are we doing, Melody?
Well, you know, you hear about kicking the can down the road, mm-hmm. and they were talking about Europe is doing such a great job kicking the can down the road. And that's exactly what they're doing, just like we're doing, what the U.S. is doing, but they're not fixing any of the structure. And anytime you have a structure that's weak, you can keep propping it up and keep propping it up, but eventually that structure will collapse. It doesn't matter what you do. If you don't fix the true problems of that structure, it's going to collapse, and that's all they are doing. And people just can't forget that that's what they're doing.
What is the fundamental structural flaw? Fiat currency.
Yes.
That's the problem, fiat currency. It allows, and government delights in fiat currency because it allows them to repay their bills, it allows for inflation, it allows them to repay their loans with cheaper dollars, and it lays the foundation. It allows government to simply print money. When we have a gold or silver-based currency, we hit on this, once a week anyway, but when we have a gold or silver-based currency, the government is inhibited. It can't spend every nickel and dime it wants to spend. It can only spend the money it actually has, and it can't spend gold and silver out of thin air. But when you have paper dollars, digital dollars, government can effectively create as much money as it wants, and this is the reason government grows so much during a period of fiat currency. Government gets to write an endless series of checks that no one can ever cash. And using those checks, it buys more and more influence, it buys more and more employees, and it goes deeper and deeper into debt. The whole thing becomes irrational. A bad ending is guaranteed, although we don't know when the ending is going to take place. But government delights in it during the time we have fiat currency. Government, you know, they think it's a great ride, but it's going to be a terrible situation for the American people before this is done, and for government. They can't continue. Sooner or later, they have to give it up. And the point, of course, is we did not begin to get into this trouble until we allowed the government to, one, take away gold as a domestic currency, that would be back in 1933, and two, eliminate silver as a domestic currency by the end of 1968. And since then, we've had, you know, what, four decades, five? Four decades, I guess, of economic stagnation for all practical purposes. Average man right now isn't making much more money in terms of standard of living, not really much higher than it was back in the 1970s. It traces back. It goes to the money. It goes to the thing that almost no one can see. You know, average person, it's like oxygen in the air. It's vital to your survival that you have oxygen in the air, and yet we can't see it. We take it for granted. We pay no attention to the oxygen supply. Same thing with money. It is vital to our economic survival, and yet it's almost invisible to us. The only thing we can see is are the numbers on the pieces of paper that they call money. And this one is a 1, and this is a 5, and this is a 20, and a 50, and a 100. They're all just the same. The only difference is somebody changed the numbers on them. They don't have any intrinsic difference. That was never true with coins. It was never true with gold. It was never true with silver. You had a dime, you had a tenth of an ounce. You had a whole ounce, you had a dollar, you know, with silver. And if you had $20 in gold, you had 1 ounce of gold. If you had $10 in gold, you had half an ounce. If you had $5, you had a quarter of an ounce of gold. There was a difference in the weight of the money. Today, there's no difference in the weight of your paper. And most people don't get this. They think this is an irrational, who cares? It all spins. Watch and see. Those of you who think there's no difference between paper dollars and gold dollars, for example, you'll see. It may take a few more years, but you're going to see it. You're going to sit back, and when you do, you're going to say, oh my gosh. You don't think those people on Financial Survival knew what they were talking about, do you?
We got a question from Philip. Okay. I see that he sent this over to you. I don't know if you had a chance, but it's both a question and a statement, and we got 10 minutes going into the next break, so it'd probably be a good... So he has a question and a statement. Gold would have to collapse to 1375 to equal the correction in 2008. His question for you is, will we have another stock crash, and would this drive us to such a correction if, say, the Dow Jones gave up its gains and collapses to below 6600? And he goes on to say, and we'll go back to that question for you.
These are complex questions, and they are not, all right, they are not immediately clear to me. All right, he's got some, yes, his questions are, there's some links here that are a little bit, go ahead.
Let me say what he says, the way he sees it. Extrapolating the dot-com and the 2008 crash, the Dow Jones has a channel down to below 6,000. If that happens, the stock crash would be more severe than last time. If that happened, could gold be sucked down with it and crash below 1375? Would gold stocks do the same?
Okay, let's take this a chunk at a time. Let's see if I can... What he's saying is, if we were to see a crash today, similar to what we'd seen in the dot-com crash and the 2008 crashes, the Dow Jones might go down below 6,000 if that happened. Point one, is that conceivable? A lot of people think it is. Some people are arguing that we will see the day when the price of gold and the Dow Jones are essentially identical. If the price of gold is $3,500, the Dow Jones is going to be $3,500. It'll be a terrible fall for the Dow Jones. It'll be a rise for gold. Some people think that's going to happen. Insofar as that theory might be true, it's not inconceivable that the Dow could fall below 6,000. It's not inconceivable that it might wind up matching the price of gold. Maybe yes, maybe no. But it's possible. The stock crash would be more severe than last time. I think that's true. If that happened, could gold be sucked down with it and crash below 1375? I think the answer is absolutely yes. In the event that the stock markets fall dramatically, it may signal that we are in a state of depression. If we go into a state of depression, prices of everything, as measured in fiat dollars, are going to fall. And it's entirely possible that the price of gold could fall in the context of a depression. But the question becomes whether gold falls as fast as other prices are falling. Right? If the price of homes falls by 50%, but gold falls by 25%, your gold is relatively more valuable even after the price fall than it is before the price fall. And that's hard to explain. It's hard for me to articulate. But the question of a fall, all right, let's say gold fell to 1375. All right, could happen. I'm not going to argue it can't happen. But if it did, what if the price of homes fell by 50% in the meantime? Gold falls by 25%, homes fall by 50%. You are ahead owning gold even in the midst of a depression. One of the things I've seen and talked about from time to time on the program is that during the Great Depression, it was routinely recognized that cash it was king. Right? But what was cash during the Great Depression? It was paper money, right? I give you that, but it was all still backed by silver. They'd taken the gold out in 1933, but the silver remained throughout the Great Depression. Point I'm trying to make is the cash that was king during the Great Depression was silver. I'm not saying that silver would be superior to gold. I'm just saying they removed gold, so silver, but silver remained. The cash that was king was metallic. It was a metallic monetary cash. Yeah, we had paper, but silver was what held it together. I'm going to suggest that in the event of another depression, what you're going to see is cash will again be king. But who believes it will be a fiat cash that'll be king? It strikes me as improbable. The cash that would be king during the Great Depression will be gold and silver. And you'll have an opportunity, even though, you know, we could say the price of gold is down, you'll still have an opportunity to buy a house with a fraction of the amount of gold that it would cost you to buy a house today. And so these are peculiar questions. They're hard to answer because everything is in a state of motion. It's not, we don't have nothing stable. The price of homes won't be stable. Price of stocks won't be stable. Price of gold won't be stable. Which one goes up? Which one goes down? Which one goes down the fastest? That's the one you want to stay away from. Which one goes down the most slowly? That's the one you want to go to.
And I don't know if this is true, Al. I know we compare the Depression with 33, and you're right, we had a currency that was backed by something metallic. This time, there isn't anything.
I understand. There's nothing official.
There's nothing official.
There's nothing official.
My guess would be, you're right, I believe we could actually see gold fall, but all things are relative. And I don't think you'd see that fall as deep. I think it would be extremely higher. We have to see at what level would it be falling from. And when you're having a currency crisis, this is what's going to run the price up before the depression comes along that would have any sort of correction. So maybe that is the depression that would correct gold down from the levels that people talk about, 3, 5, and even Phil says in his email, which we'll get to after the break, he says 5,000 and 10,000 per ounce. I think those are the levels that we'll see the impact with from the depression.
I agree. I mean, it's the problem with all of this is simply it's tough to explain. It's difficult to articulate because it is relative. There aren't absolute answers. It's which one is moving higher at the which one is moving higher at the highest rate of speed, which one is moving lower at the you know, to the lowest levels. Very complex. And subjective, well, and hard to explain sometimes and make
folks,
clear to people, but it is relative.
I think folks are looking for exacts. They're looking for 100%. They're looking for guarantees.
They're looking for absolutes, and there aren't any.
And there aren't any. And anybody who comes to you with those absolutes, there aren't any.
Yeah.
We have to look at the true basics. We can look at history. We can look at how things go, and it takes the fundamentals of the whole picture that guides us. And you know, when you look at the history of gold and you look at the history of paper, all those histories tell us time and time again exactly where we're going to be. But those,
you know, what else they tell us?
We're going to be a break.
We're going to take some commercial announcements right now. They tell us that too. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Melody is going to tell you about her special for today, but before she does, I'm going to do an impersonation.
Oh, no.
And Melody's the only one who can guess who it is that I'm trying to impersonate. So pay close attention now, Melody, and tell me who this is.
Why me? Unfortunately, I can't say it on the air. No, I can't. So we're going to move right along, folks. We're going to continue with the special yesterday.
You got it then, didn't you? You understood
yes,
who I was impersonating.
Did. Yes, I did. We got $1,100 special. We're going to carry it through today, even though silver's up and gold is up. We have $5 AU Liberties. And we also have $25 face value of 90% silver quarters and dimes for $1,100. That includes all your shipping costs. It's a great little package. You can buy one little package or two little packages or three or four. Give us a call. You have to give us a call in order to buy them. 800-375-4188. That's an AU, slightly circulated, $5 Liberty gold piece and $25 face value of 90%. Silver, includes your shipping, $1,100. And prior to the program, I thought, I wonder what some of these coin prices did here in the last year, even though gold has gone up and it has come down. So I went back and I took some prices from March 2nd. And at that time, spot gold was $1,710. And so we had a correction down in spot gold of $132. Now, I only did the Liberties, that's I ran out of time. I'll do the Saints next week. Mint State 62, $20 Liberties. They're down $80, so $132 drop in gold. We have Mint State 62, $20 Liberties, down $80. Mint State 63, $20 Liberties, they're up. They're up $65. But the winner of the three that I did the comparison, Mint State 64, $20 Liberties, they're actually up $230. So it's a great, I mean, I think that's fantastic. And they're even off their lows off their highs from a couple of weeks ago. So they have fallen with the drop in gold, spot gold that we've seen the $100 drop in the past week or so. And, but they're still up $230. So, this is what your $20 gold pieces can do. They have bigger increases and they can have some bigger drops in their prices, but they can also maintain in markets that are very stagnant like we saw this past year. They can go up in those types of markets. So those who talk bad about $20 gold pieces and Mint State $20 gold pieces, it's because they don't understand the markets. They usually have another agenda, and they always will pick the $20 gold pieces when they've done their worst. And anytime you have an item that is projected to have bigger increases, it's going to be a little more volatile, and that's exactly what we see in the $20 gold pieces. So if you have any questions, folks, always give us a call, or you can email me at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. That's my personal email, discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. Make sure you visit our websites at dgscoins.com. That is DGS for Discount Gold Silver Coins.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter on that front page. All you have to do is put in your email address, and you'll get our monthly issue, in which we join forces with Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. So you get a little bit of health and you get a little bit of wealth information. So you ready to continue along the lines of this from Philip?
I am ready to attempt to continue.
All right.
And I think it's unfair not to tell the audience.
No, I don't.
Who I was impersonating.
No. He goes on to say, what do you feel the likelihood of that scenario that we were talking about? And if you feel it likely, which we did, how low do you think stocks will go? How far down will it drag gold? What effect would that have on the Fed's money printing policies? And where would the Fed's response eventually send gold prices? If this happens, will this be the beginning of high inflation in the U.S. and possibly hyperinflation in currencies without a reserve status? His feeling is that we are a good few years off from hyperinflation in dollar, euro, sterling, and yen, simply because their respective reserve statuses provide a market to absorb excess liquidity at the moment.
Well, John Williams projects that hyperinflation will start by the end of this year. That was one of the opinions expressed by John Williams at shadowstats.com, if I recall correctly. He expects to see hyperinflation before the end of this year. maybe yes, maybe no. We'll watch and see. The government, you know, these are very, very complex questions, again, that Philip is raising. But hyperinflation is almost certain to take place. From my perspective, again, my fundamental, the lodestar, the North Pole in my thinking is that the national debt is too great to ever be repaid. It tells me, because the debt, according to the Congressional Budget Office, is over $200 trillion. That's $700,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. I don't have it. Most people don't have it. And even if I did, I don't know that I'd give it to the government. I don't see how the government's going to collect $700,000 or pay off $700,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child in the country. It isn't going to happen. There's no source of money that they can come back and say, okay, we're going to get $700,000 from each of you, and then we'll pay the debt. I don't think they can get more than $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 on average out of the American people. That tells me that at least 80%, maybe 90% of the existing debt cannot be paid. Therefore, it won't be paid. And that in turn tells me that everyone is holding on to a debt instrument, a paper debt instrument that memorializes this $200 trillion debt. You're going to lose your assets. That's what's going to happen. It may be several years before it happens, but it's going to happen. It tells me that it's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous to store your wealth in any paper form. We are going to hit a moment, and maybe this year, maybe 5 years from now, I can't tell you, but we're going to hit a moment where the paper is recognized as essentially worthless. This moment could happen as early as it could begin as early as the end of this year if hyperinflation starts at that point in time. It'll just be a way of saying, look, your paper is almost worthless. You will, and what's that tell you? It tells you you've got to get into something like gold. You've got to get into something tangible. You can't store your wealth in paper. That's the first point. Now, in the event that we go to a worst case scenario and the price and the value of paper debt instruments collapses 80%, 90%, even if it's only 50%, it's still a tremendous collapse. If we go into that, what's going to happen? There's going to be a kind of chaos. What will it mean for the price of stocks? They should go down, assuming there's even a stock market where you can trade them, right? Well, you have to think about, from my perspective, on some of these complex problems that we're facing, and we can wonder what's going to happen to the Dow, and what's going to happen to mining shares, and will they go up, down, how much, will there be inflation, hyperinflation? If you can see and you are inclined to believe that there is trouble coming, right, then it's time to do the best you can with what you've got. It's not a matter of trying to figure out whether the price of gold will be $1,300 an ounce or $10,000 an ounce. It's a question of what investment vehicle will help you to survive. We're not talking about whether you are going to ride on the Titanic or the Queen Mary or some yacht. We're talking about a potential worst-case scenario where you will be grateful and thank God if you have a life preserver. And you will feel singularly blessed if you can get into a lifeboat. All right? It's not about having a cabin, you know, on an ocean liner. It's about, do you have anything that will keep you afloat? And from my perspective, gold is one of the things that can do that. Will you get rich off of it? We've heard stories that during the great inflation period, during the Weimar Republic in Germany, I've heard a story where one guy who used to be a bellhop in a hotel, somebody gave him an ounce of gold as a tip at one point when he was a kid. He saved it. And later on, in the midst of the Weimar inflation, he was able to buy that hotel for 1 ounce of gold. Are we going to see those kinds of opportunities in the future? I think we probably will. But even if we don't, worst case scenario, if you can't purchase a loaf of bread with a fiat paper dollar, you will be able to get bread with gold, with silver. Huh? And that's, from my perspective, I'm looking at that basic. That's what rings my bell, and that's what inclines me to say, hold your gold. Hold it. Right? Just like telling people on the Titanic, hang on to your life preserver. Stay close to the lifeboats. There's a problem. Right? The ship may, they've telling us everything may, they're telling us everything is fine. They're still playing music in the salon. Everything's, I'm telling you, I think there's a hole in the side of the boat. And you can guess, am I right? Am I wrong? Don't know. But we can't give you specific, you know, we can guess at what the price of gold is going to become. We can guess at what might happen in the stock market. But no one can answer really the kinds of questions that Phil has submitted with any specificity. From my perspective, you look at the trend, you say, I think the ship's going to sink. I could be wrong, but I think it could. And the fact that it just could tells you, get that life preserver, get that lifeboat, huh? Get ready to get clear. Gold can be that lifeboat. Gold can be that life preserver. So.
And you know, Al, you talk about the hole in the side of the boat. It's just like that hole, we're just not estimating and thinking that it's there. We're actually seeing and understanding the icebergs that hit the boat.
Yeah.
And these are the things that give us the knowledge and the insight to understand why the boat's going to sink. So
they create confidence. We can be confident of some things. All right, we can't give you prophecy, but we can give you confidence, at least insofar as we look at it. We look at it and look, we got trouble headed our way. There's no way to get away from this. They can kick the can. The only question is, how long can they kick the can down the road? How long? I don't know. But sooner or later, I contend that they are going to run out of road. And then what? Where are you going to kick the can then? When that happens, there's going to be significant trouble. People have gold and silver. We'll get through that trouble with a lot less personal suffering than people who don't have it. No.
All right. Thank you, Phil, for that email and those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some other. He believes that gold is going to go to $5,000 to $10,000. Based on the reserve currencies and the dollars. And his concerns, again, were gold shares. And, again, it all comes back to holding a paper asset.
Yeah.
And they have been doing terribly. I don't have any advice for those folks, even with the markets being up 120 points, even with gold being up. For the past couple days after the big hits, most of the it was a mixed bag in shares. You know, some went up, some went down, and you know, some of them recovered yesterday, only to fall down a little bit today. And I know some folks are losing significant amounts in those markets, and it's a tough place to be and some tough decisions to make for you, you know. But lots of times you have to lose in order to reposition your portfolio so you can get ahead.
You have to be able to cut bait if that's what's required. You have to be objective, and that means almost ruthless with your own investments. And if they're not working out for you, you have to rethink them. Now, we've had a difficult year, 18 months in gold, and that's a fact. But are we likely to see that continue? I am unable. I don't know how long they can sustain this difficult period for gold, but I am unable to imagine that it can last for an extended period of time. That may be a fault in my thinking, but, you know, how long can this continue? We've got to turn around. We know government must inflate to survive. They have to inflate the currency. They cannot deflate. They must inflate. All by itself, it tells you price of gold must go up. It may not go up tomorrow. It might not go up next week, but it's going to go up. And it has to go up dramatically before it's done, because government is caught in a terrible debt problem, and inflation is the one way they might be able to get out of it or minimize it over the course of the next, who knows, 4 or 5 years, however many. If they're going to inflate, price of gold's going up. I rely on the government to push the gold price of gold higher. All right? If they stop inflating, gold goes down. If they can continue to inflate, gold goes up. I think they're going to inflate. We're going to take a break right now. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I have no more impersonation, so we will move on.
Should we tell the listeners?
Yeah, I think we should, because it's what that was a reference to those of you who remember Bob Chapman passed away now about a year ago.
June, it'll be a year.
Yeah. Bob was the regular on this program, and he was a brilliant guy, and he was also a little bit funny and a little bit quirky, and he did the radio program. He was going to do things the way he wanted to do them, and what I was doing in my impersonation earlier, Bob was on the program with, I was interviewing Bob on this program one time, a year ago, more than that, 18 months, I don't remember, and I could hear Bob biting into an apple, right, while we're on the air. And he was trying to bite into it slowly. And apparently he thought maybe we wouldn't hear. But we did, of course. We could hear Bob biting into the apple. And that was me doing an impersonation of Bob biting into the apple. And it was just kind of funny. And it was very funny, really. It was one of the things that you look back and you fondly remember. All right? Bob was fun. He would do things that he wanted to do when he wanted to do them. And it worked out. It was kind of funny at times. It was amusing. It was, and I always enjoyed. I enjoyed every opportunity I had to interview Bob. He was with Melody most of the time, but I had an opportunity to interview him a couple times a month. You know, maybe even once a week I might get on the program with Bob, but probably about twice a month. I always enjoyed it, always learned things from Bob. it was a good time. And I even had a couple of compliments from Bob, all right, which pretty much amazed me. I mean, you know, he was the master and the rest, that sort of thing, and I was just kind of along for the ride, but had a good time.
Bob was a funny guy. I can often remember all the little soundtracks he would make in the beginning of the programs. You know, here I am trying to be serious, and he'd be in the background trying to make me laugh. And that's coming off of some of my most memorable times with Bob. It was always minutes prior to the show while we were, you know, he would always call me prior to the show, and we'd talk and get updated and everything. And so those minutes prior to the program, we're always
Bob will be
special.
Missed. Bob will certainly be missed.
So, okay, what's next?
I don't know. Where are we going? You're steering, Melody.
I'm still. You're going to let a woman drive?
That's exactly. That was my next point. I'm going to suggest all fasten your seatbelts because we got a woman driver here.
Well, we're going to talk about the disarming of the vets.
Yeah, that's an interesting article appeared from Minutemen News. The headline is "The Disarming of Our Vets." Veterans receive letters from Department of Veteran Affairs prohibiting possession of firearms or ammunition. This doesn't involve all vets, but it involves several hundred, perhaps several thousand. The total number of vets that are affected by this are, according to this article, not yet known. But here's some of the text. How would you feel if you received a letter from the U.S. government informing you that because of a physical or mental condition that the government says you have, it is proposing to rule that you are incompetent to handle your own financial affairs? Suppose that letter also stated that the government is going to appoint a stranger to handle your affairs for you at your expense. That would certainly be scary enough, but it gets worse. What the letter also said, it stated, quote, "A determination of incompetency will prohibit you from purchasing, possessing, receiving, or transporting a firearm or ammunition. If you knowingly violate any of these prohibitions, you may be fined, imprisoned, or both pursuant to the Brady Handgun Violence Protection Act," and so on, and they specify the code. Now, the veteran, the letter provides no specifics on the reasons for the proposed findings of incompetency. Someone's just writing you a letter. Excuse me. I'm still working on the flu. You know, the cough just comes up when it comes up. But in any case, someone's just going to send you a letter from the government, say, we don't think you're right. We think you're incompetent, and therefore you can't have a gun. We'll handle your financial affairs, yada, yada. In every state in the United States, no one can be declared incompetent to administer their own affairs without due process of law, and that usually requires a judicial hearing with evidence being offered to prove to a judge that the person is indeed competent. They are not proposing that from the government. They are sending these letters to at least hundreds and probably thousands. Not all. You know, a significant minority of veterans, and saying, we're going to take your firearms away. We're even going to handle your financial affairs. Some of these letters will perhaps be justified. Some of these veterans may be impaired. That's a fact. But it seems almost certain that the way it's being handled, that some of these veterans are not, they don't deserve this. And yet the government is threatening to diminish their rights administratively. Is this something that should be allowed? Should we allow the government to sit back and say, well, some of these guys are crazy and we got to take their firearms away without any judicial process? Fifth Amendment says, Constitution, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And yet they are proposing to essentially do that to some American veterans. They're going to deprive them of liberty or property without due process of law. They're just going to say, we think you're not right. Therefore, we're taking your stuff. What do you think, Melody? Is that something that should be done? Is that justifiable?
No, I think we saw the notice about New York pulling off the mental illness folks off the streets and picking them up. And again, I think it's focusing on this mental health issue, and I think it's going to be a big issue in the future, and because it's going to rule as far as what we're able to do. And heaven forbid if you had any type of situation, a depression, you know, because you had a family member pass on 20 years ago, and they're going to bring that up, and it all comes about for reporting requirements, for the Obamacare, for the health care, and again for our weapons, for our protection. So they're using this mental health, and it's disturbing to say the least. And no, it's a
dangerous precedent to allow government to just stand back and say, look, I think you're crazy, so we're going to lock you up, or we're going to take your financial affairs away from you. We're going to deprive you of firearms because we think you're crazy. There's got to be a case-by-case judicial hearing for each one of these determinations. It may be that some people are crazy and they can't handle their affairs, and they shouldn't have firearms. I agree with that. I understand that. But we cannot allow the determination to be made arbitrarily by people in government. Because before we're done, they can declare anybody, including you, me, and anyone in the audience, to be, you're nuts, we can take all your stuff away from you. You're nuts, we think we've decided you're crazy. It becomes the same sort of process that they had in the Soviet Union back in the 1950s and 60s. Anyone who criticized the government was deemed to be mentally ill. And we have, I'm trying to think of the name of the book where they list all of the different mental illnesses, the psychiatrist's manual, and I can't think of the name of it. But they have, I've heard reports that they have added a new form of mental illness, which includes anyone who is significantly critical of the government. They regard that as a form of mental illness. What is this crazy talk? That's them. They're crazy. I'm saying the people that are critical of the government are the ones that are sane. The ones that say that's mental illness, they're the ones that are crazy. But we live in a world where increasingly those kinds of slanders, if made by government, may be sufficient to cause people to be indefinitely detained, lose all their property, rendered homeless. God only knows what can happen to you once you fall into one of the clutches of some of this mental health care. A dangerous, dangerous precedent is being established, and it should be resisted. There's got to be a judicial determination. Some people may be crazy, but we have to respect the possibility that some people aren't. And therefore, government's going to have to prove its claim. They say you're nuts, prove it. All right? They don't want to prove it, leave them alone. We are safer having crazy people on the streets than we are having people in government who can arbitrarily declare you, me, Melody, whoever, crazy. We have more to fear from the government than we do from the lunatics. Uh-huh. What else have we got, Melody, unless you want to add something?
No, I don't. I think that was it's just another sign of the times. Home prices climbing.
Yep.
They're fastest rate
since November 2005.
True or false?
Well, it's apparently true. I've read it on the internet.
bonjour.
Bonjour. No, it's published by Business Insider. And we just saw January existing home prices come in better than expectations. But the one key detail was the rise in home prices. The national median existing home price for all housing types was $173,600 in January, up 12.3% from a year ago. Existing home prices continued to rise for the 11th straight month. So we are seeing cause for celebration and encouragement in the housing industry. How significant is this relative to the general economy? Does this mean that the recovery is underway?
I believe, Al, that the national median, though, for existing homes at the peak was something like 250. So it's still a far cry from where it was.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the important point. This is where you get back into this concept of it's all relative. You can sit back and say, yeah, it went up for the 11 straight months. It's up 12%, yes. But it's still off, what, 20-25% compared to what it was 5 years ago. And that's in terms of nominal dollars and doesn't allow for inflation. If you calculate on how much the price of homes have risen in terms of dollars that compensate for inflation since 2005, chances are there hasn't been any rise at all. There are very little, certainly less than is bragged about. So maybe we have cause for some celebration. Well, we certainly, it's a bright spot. It's not bad. It's good. But it's not great. Right? It's not compelling. It's encouraging on one level. But when you weigh it and you compare it and you do it on a relativistic basis, you look back and say, well, this is a certain amount of, this may be a certain amount of propaganda and cheerleading rather than an attempt to show people what's really going on in this economy. I don't think it's significant. It's good news. All right? But it's like good news, it looks like the ship, we thought the ship would sink by, 6 o'clock tonight, but it turns out the ship won't sink until 8 o'clock tonight. Well, that's good news. But the ship is still sinking.
Hey, we get since Obama is planning to take over the IRAs and the 401ks, would this be the prelude to confiscate gold and guns since he models himself as FDR?
Well, hard to say what any of this means for sure and what it implies, because we are seeing rising levels of resistance from even sheriffs. Sheriff's associations are coming out and saying, we're not going to enforce any confiscation of weapons. And we are seeing different groups and individuals that are standing up and saying, we're not going to just roll over and cooperate with the confiscation of guns or certainly the confiscation of gold. So what does it mean? What it means is people need to be careful about their 401ks, for example. It's possible they might be seized. I don't believe they're going to seize the guns. I don't see how they're going to seize the gold and make it work. I don't see how that just doesn't make sense to me. But it is possible they might be able to grab the 401ks. They might be able to reach into other pension funds. This means that people who have the 401ks have the pension funds. You need to think and make up your own mind. Should I continue with this, or should I look for a more secure way to preserve my wealth? We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back next Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye. Money, money, always funny. Here.